Jesus.
Shavua Tov, we're coming into the period of Slichas, which this year I think has taken everybody a bit by surprise in the sense we haven't even got through Labor Day yet, but I think we'll have to cope with it as best we can. And I am reminded of that very famous anecdote, which I'm sure you all know, which is said about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was the great founder of the Musa movement. And towards the end of his life, he became a Rav in Paris. And it's interesting because his great-great-granddaughter ended up in my class in London, one of my classes that I taught. Very interesting family. The family name is Lipkin. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was once, I think the word is accosted by one of his balabatim during the High Holy Day period. And the guy was not particularly friendly. And he said to the rabbi, he said, "Rabbi, so many speeches. So many droshes," he says, "they go in one ear and they go out the other. And that's it." And that was the comment to the rabbi. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who had a sense of humor, smiled at this guy and he said, "Rabbi Yid, you made my day." He said, "Rabbi, how to explain?" He said, "Because listen, when it goes in one ear and it comes out the other, while it's inside, maybe something remains. A little bit deposits itself before it disappears outside through the other ear. Maybe, a bit of what I'm going to say may actually stay with you and hopefully will change your life." And the man had to admit the rabbi had a point. And I hope that in the next couple of weeks, you're going to be hearing a lot of droshes, all different rabbis, different things that are going to be said. Even that it goes one ear and out the other, hopefully in that little time that it stays in between the two points, something will register, I hope. And I want to share with you maybe a couple of thoughts for this year, which, you know, you look around the world, you look around the Jewish world, and there's a lot of things that one is definitely made to think about, certainly before Rosh Hashanah of this year, be it the world situation, be it our communal situation, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. One of the joys, I think, of teaching is that every so often you get to explain, you get to know characters in the Bible, characters, commentaries, people who become sort of more well-known to you, be it David HaMelech, be it Shaul HaMelech, people that I end up teaching, Eliyahu HaNavi. And I always ask the students, same question over and over again. I say, "Would you have liked to have met this person? Would you have liked to have met David HaMelech? Or would you have liked to have met Shaul HaMelech?" Or to the girls at Stern, I say, "Would you date such a person?" That's a very loaded question. And very often I get some interesting responses. And the answer comes back usually a mixture of not quite sure. The rabbi probably has lost his marbles. They think I've gone a bit crazy with the question. But I want to make the person real. And by making that person real and by making that person significant in the lives of the student, to that point, I think it registers. It makes them think about the person in a different way. And there's a guy on my list who I really would have loved to have met. And his name is Jacob Krantz. Now you'll say to me, "Jacob Krantz, okay, who is that?" Unless somebody knows in the audience, but I'm not going to ask the question at this point. It's too late at night to have a question and answer. And Jacob Krantz is known by his title, the Duvna Magid. Duvna Magid, everybody seems to have heard of the Duvna Magid, but his name was Jacob Krantz, Rabbi Krantz. And famous stories, famous mashalim, famous parables that he gave. And the reason why I really am intrigued by this man is because there's a tradition. And the tradition is that the Vilna Gaon, the great Rabbi Leo Kramer of Vilna, was so enamored with Jacob Krantz as an individual, as a person, as a role model, that the only man he would allow to give Musa, to give Tochocha, rebuke to the Vilna Gaon, was the Duvna Magid. Just imagine what this man must have been like. That you could say Musa to the Vilna Gaon. A man, the Vilna Gaon, he learned 22 hours every day. Maybe slept for 2 hours a night, according to different versions of the stories. A man who was engrossed in Torah study. And along comes Jacob Krantz, the Duvna Magid, and the Gaon wants to hear Musa from him. What an individual. I would have loved to have met this guy. And there are so many anecdotes and so many stories, particularly around Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur time. He would go to Vilna, especially to visit the Gaon, and he would come into the house, and the Gaon immediately would sit him down and say, Reb Yankel, nu, Zogepas, tell us something. And there are stories, and one of them is really one of my favorites. He came to Vilna, it was a few days before Rosh Hashanah, and the Gaon was desperate already. You know, he heard that the Duvna Magid is coming. And a Magid was always someone who really enthralled the audiences. The Magid was someone, I remember when I was in yeshiva in England, we had visits very, very often from Rav Shalom Shvadron, Zichrona Livrocha, known as the Magid of Yerushalayim. And if you never heard him, never had the privilege to hear him, it's very hard to describe the experience. The Magid would stand there for 2 hours, maybe even longer. He would enthrall the audience with anecdotes and with stories, with a lot of humor, a lot of Divrei Torah. It's something that I can't describe. I think Rabbi Krohn comes near to it, but in comparison to Rabbi Shvadron, it's a different concept. And the Duvna Magid was someone who knew how to speak to his audience, but he spoke in the most simplistic terms. But simplistic doesn't mean without depth. Simplistic means that he got to the heart of the matter. So the Vilna Gaon saw him. He brings him into the house. And he sits him down. Zog, nu, tell me something for Rosh Hashanah. So the Duvna Magid starts with the following story. And, you know, what do you say to the Vilna Gaon? How do you tell him off? What do you say to him? So the Duvna Magid goes like this. He says, I'll tell you a story, a maisa. There was a maisa, a yidl. A Pasha the Yid who lived in a shtetl, he lived in a village somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And he, you know, he lived a very simple life, and he was very, how should we say, you know, it was the culture of those days. And once the opportunity arose that he could go and spend time in a big city, and he would go to the Rid was the famous market, probably in Leipzig or wherever it was, or in Lemberg, there were all different places that they used to go. And this Yid was so excited, he was going to the big city. So, fine, he gets into the wagon and he makes his way to the big city. And it's a bit of a trip for him. And he gets there and he gets to his hotel or whatever it was, a tavern. And he's trying to settle down for the evening. And he looks out of the window. And in the distance, he sees a tremendous fire burning. And he realizes, there's a fire going on. There's a terrible conflagration. He sees it in the distance. And next thing he hears is the sound of a drum. He hears this drum beating, boom, 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 the whole, you know, for a long period of time. And he stands there, and he's mesmerized, and he hears the noise. And then all of a sudden, the flames died down. And he says to himself, wow, this is the big city. What an invention. They have a fire, they bring a drum, they beat the drum, and look what happened. The flames died down. And he said, before I go back to my shtetl, I've got to go and buy one of those drums. And it's unreal. And he took the drum back with him to the shtetl, and within 2 or 3 days, there was a fire in the little village, and this man runs to the fire, and he starts beating the drum. Boom, 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 and he's beating, and he's getting so excited. And everybody's standing around, and the house is burning down, and he's standing there beating this drum. And they go up to him and say, what are you doing? What are you doing, Rabbi? What's going on? He said, I saw when I was in Lemberg, I saw that there was a fire, and they beat the drum so much, boom. And that put the fire out. And they said to him, you bistar nar, you're such a fool. What do you mean they beat the drum? The drum was to call the fire department. They would then hear the noise and they came. And because you didn't see the fact that they put out the fire with all the trappings of extinguishing a fire, all you heard was the noise and you thought that put out the fire. You're wrong. And they said to him, you made a big mistake. And that was the story that he told the Vilna Gaon, and the Gaon started crying. The Gaon cried his eyes out. And everybody was, you know, heard the story, and they heard, and they said, what's going on? What's the pshat? And the Duvna Magid explained, and the Gaon understood it without the explanation. He said, it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it comes to Yom Kippur, it comes to Chodesh Elul. And we started blowing the shofar a few weeks ago. And we're starting with the Dovah Hashem Ori V'Yishin. If you're Sephardi and you managed to stay awake for a whole month, getting up so early every morning, it's just gone on and on. And now it's slichas and late night and early morning or late evening and whatever, whenever you're doing it. It's unreal what we're doing now, and through the Seis Beitshuva, the extra prayers, Rosh Hashanah service, tell your colleagues at work that you're celebrating the new year by sitting for 6 hours in a synagogue. They won't believe you. Right? I tried that once and they thought I was crazy. You know, what are you doing? It's your new year, you should be partying. And you explain, no, not quite the same attitude that we have. And you go into all these details, and you know what? You come to this year after year after year, and it's as they say in English, it becomes rote. It's something that you do by rote. Do you really think about it? You go through the ritual. You go through the experience. We hear the shofar over and over again, and we say these fabulous prayers, and they're so beautiful, but we do it by rote. We love the music, the tunes, the everything around it. But again, what is the feeling that goes into it? And the Duvna Magid says that, you know what? He says, this is the man beating the drum. Beating the drum, you're making the noise. You're making the sounds. You're saying the prayers. But are you really putting out the fire? Are you really extinguishing what is needed to be extinguished? Are you really having an effect on your neshama? And his argument and his message to the Vilna Gaon, even to somebody like the Vilna Gaon, was to say, stop doing what you're doing and just think about what you're doing. Be it to look in the Siddur, look in the Masa, to prepare a little bit ahead. Be it to think about the tefillahs that we're going to say. Be it to do a little bit of preparation, maybe on the stories of the Kriyas HaTorah, whatever it may be. And I just want to add, because I think this is such a powerful idea, the idea of what the Kotzker Rebbe says, and he says it also in the same lines. He says, we say in Shema every day. And again, how much do we think about when we're saying the Shema so quickly every morning? The words are so beautiful. He says, Devarim Ha'ele should be al avavecha, upon your heart. What does that mean? The Kotzker asks the question. He says it should have said in the Torah, "Bilavavecha," in your heart. We want the word, excuse me, to be in your heart. What do you mean on your heart? Al means above. Aliyah. It's like above. What does that mean? And the Kotzker explains it so beautifully. He says what happens is that everybody in life, we're busy, we're running around, we're so taken with our jobs, with our families, whatever it may be. And those moments when your heart is open to an influence, to a hisorus, to something which will bring you up, are very rare indeed. It can happen at a time of simcha, it can happen at a time of crisis, but these are rare moments. And the Kotzker says, Alevavecha, you should always have this sense of knowing that it could happen, should be ready to go into your heart. But your heart is closed for most of the time, so let it sit there. Let it be there when you get to that moment, whenever it may be, when your heart opens up, then that a sense of purity, of tahara, will enter and it will affect you. And he says that's the whole thing of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, there'll be moments which will, you know, that they will resonate. The moment, I don't know, this year I'm thinking, I just had news from an old friend of mine, a very sort of going back to my early days from youth group. Unfortunately, it was Nifta, passed away, lived in Hong Kong. And I heard this and I thought, you know, how it's just, I can't even begin to sort of think about it. That, you know, I'm at that stage where contemporaries already sort of are getting, you know, disappearing, are passing away, and all these sort of thoughts that go through your mind. So the first time you hear, mi yichye, mi yomus, mi bekitza, mi lo bekitza, you know, it can have an effect. And whatever it may be that moment on Yom Kippur, which I find so powerful, and we say Shechiyonu. Do we think about that bracha? The bracha when we start Yom Kippur, we say, thank you God for keeping me alive to this moment so that I can go through another Yom Kippur. We say at the beginning, not at the end. And it can be a moment, I don't know, when you're standing doing tasha, whatever it may be. That is the moment when you stop beating the drum and hopefully you start dousing the fire. And I think this is something to think about, a thought to take with us through the coming 2 weeks that we have, the Yom Ha'Nuraim that are now upon us. The idea of, again, don't just beat the drum, don't just go through the thing by rote, but let it be Alevavecha, to wait for that moment when it really goes in and it penetrates and it becomes part of you, part of your neshama, part of your life. And it can be the fire around us. I mean, I'm just looking this evening, I just came out, Again, there's announcements today about Syria and about the potential danger in the Middle East. And we've got to look at that map and look at the countries which are just, at the moment, the fire is burning. Fire in Syria, fire in Egypt. Where next? I don't know where it's going to be. And in the middle of that, you've got this precious strip of land, size of New Jersey, even smaller than New Jersey, called Eretz Yisrael, Medinat Yisrael. How we have to just thank God during the next 2 weeks to say, number one, that we have, the world should be thanking us, that we have this island of tranquility, essentially, in the midst of these fires which are burning out of control. And not only that, but it's something that we as Jews just must never, ever take for granted. It's something we have to think about. We have to go through this time period, through the Yom Noraim, and say to God, thank you, Hashem, and we will make it stronger. And we will support it. And we can't allow criticism, particularly by Jews. We may not agree with everything that goes on, but to publicly criticize, unacceptable. And the thoughts which are on the fires of the world scene, and be it fires in the local communities, wherever we find ourselves, machlokes, enough already. We argue so much, and we take our arguments into the public forum. It's something which is so distressing, and it's so disturbing. And igiyaz zman that we've got to have din v'cheshbon. We've got to think about where we are, where we're at, and where we're going. And I hope and pray with this little thought, this little idea, before we come into Yom Noraim, as we are now, properly coming into the period of Slichas and beyond, that we will understand what the Vilna Gaon understood so deeply, that we do things by rote. It really, it's important, don't get me wrong, we train our children to do things by rote. But there comes a point we've got to get serious. Getting serious may mean in terms of preparation, in terms of understanding, in terms of experiencing the tremendous tefillot that we're going to experience in the next couple of weeks, the reality of getting serious, and hopefully, I hope and pray that with this sense of seriousness, with this sense of understanding, with this sense of taking these thoughts and turning them into actions, that this year will be a different year. It will be a year, as we're told by Chazal, that we come to this point in the year that the curses of the last year will end and the blessings of the new year will begin. And let's hope and pray this will be a year of real bracha, of real hatzlacha, of real success, and ultimately of geula shleima b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.